A single necklace helped destroy the French monarchy. A pearl sparked England's transformation into a global empire. Diamonds, literally compressed carbon, no rarer than pencil lead, convinced generations they were essential symbols of eternal love. What if the glittering objects we fought wars over, built empires around, and bankrupted ourselves to possess are valuable only because we've agreed they are? The story of jewelry isn't really about stones at all. It's about the extraordinary power of human desire to reshape reality itself, turning worthless rocks into instruments of revolution, symbols of divinity, and currency of empires. Throughout history, our obsession with shiny objects has launched invasions, toppled governments, and fundamentally altered the global balance of power. Not because these objects possessed inherent magic, but because we believed they did. Diamonds are essentially worthless. Carbon is the fourth most abundant element in the universe. Before 1870, they were genuinely rare, with global production measured in pounds annually. Then Erasmus Jacobs found a massive crystal in South Africa's Orange River, triggering a rush that produced diamonds by the metric ton. The market collapsed. Cecil Rhodes founded De Beers, creating a cartel to control diamond flow. By 1890, De Beers owned all South African mines. Ernest Oppenheimer later consolidated 90% of global diamond interests, manufacturing artificial scarcity. But controlling supply wasn't enough. The Great Depression threatened to expose diamonds' terrible resale value. De Beers turned to emotional manipulation. Francis Giretti at N.W. Iyer Advertising created A Diamond is Forever in 1947, while Dorothy Dignam pioneered celebrity product placement. The campaign worked spectacularly. 80 to 90% of American brides now wear diamond engagement rings. The GIA estimates 4.5 billion carats have been mined since 1870, enough for every person on Earth to have a half-carat ring with a billion carats remaining. Diamonds aren't rare, eternal treasures. They're common stones we've collectively agreed to value. Before diamonds captivated the world, emeralds were the ultimate currency of wealth and power. Cleopatra wielded them as psychological weapons and nationalistic symbols. After conquering Egypt, Augustus seized her emerald mines to fund the Pax Romana, 2 centuries of peace financed by green stones. Emeralds shouldn't exist. Beryllium and chromium are extremely rare elements found in completely different parts of Earth's crust. Emeralds only form during orogenesis, when continental plates collide with such force that mountains form, allowing superheated, chromium-rich water to percolate through beryl crystal chambers. This geological miracle has happened only a few times in Earth's 4.54 billion-year history. Their power extends beyond rarity. Human eyes perceive green more vividly than other colors, with cone cells most sensitive to green wavelengths. Our evolutionary biology links green with natural abundance and springtime fertility, creating deep associations with food and wealth. Green produces measurable physiological effects, dilating blood vessels, slowing pulse rates, lowering blood pressure. Spain's empire was built on emerald wealth. When conquistadors discovered Colombian emerald mines in the mid-1500s, they extracted 500,000 carats at a time, making Spain the world's only superpower throughout the 16th century. Oversaturation crashed the emerald market within a century, collapsing Spain's empire as rapidly as it had risen. Marie Antoinette never owned the infamous diamond necklace that helped destroy her. Yet it became the symbol of everything the French people despised about their monarchy. Married to Louis XVI at 14, she entered Versailles powerless, trapped in a humiliating, sexless marriage. The teenager rebelled through unlimited spending and constant partying. The necklace was a monstrosity, 2,800 carats with 647 diamonds, weighing nearly a pound and a half. Commissioned by Louis XV for his mistress, jewelers Baumer and Bossing were stuck with this unpaid creation after his death. When Marie Antoinette repeatedly refused it, con artist Jean de Lamotte saw opportunity. Lamott convinced Cardinal de Rohan, a vain aristocrat desperate for the queen's favor, that Marie Antoinette wanted him to secretly purchase the necklace. Rohan handed it to the queen's valet, actually Lamott's accomplice, who vanished with the stones. The French public believed Marie Antoinette had orchestrated the theft. Tabloids published pornographic cartoons and vicious rumors. On July 14, 1789, Parisians stormed the Bastille. Within weeks, 7,000 women marched to Versailles searching for the queen, stabbing her bed after she escaped. The revolutionary government pardoned Lamott as a heroine, while Marie Antoinette became France's scapegoat. A necklace she never owned helped send her to the guillotine. La Peregrina, a perfectly pear-shaped natural white pearl of enormous size, was found off Panama's coast in the mid-16th century and given to Spanish King Philip II, who sent it as a betrothal gift to England's Queen Mary I. When Mary died, she spitefully willed it back to Philip rather than let her half-sister Elizabeth inherit it, sparking Elizabeth's policy of turning a blind eye to English sailors plundering Spanish ships, specifically ordering them to seize pearls in search of one like La Peregrina. Elizabeth transformed herself into a living religious icon through strategic use of pearls, which symbolized purity, divinity, and marriage. As the unmarried virgin queen, she covered herself in pounds of pearls and wore white face paint to project virginal purity. Facing threats, she employed privateers, government-authorized pirates, to attack Spanish vessels, taking a one-third cut of all plunder. Philip launched his Impresa de Inglaterra, building the largest fleet ever assembled to invade England. Elizabeth dispatched Sir Francis Drake to destroy the first armada at Cadiz before it could sail. When the rebuilt armada arrived, the English exploited their maneuverability advantage. Half the Spanish fleet was destroyed with approximately 20,000 men lost, while England lost no men in battle, establishing England as a major world power and foundation for the British Empire. Wristwatches emerged around 1868 when Countess Kuskovich commissioned Patek Philippe to create the first wristlet, a diamond bracelet with a hidden clock. Initially status symbols for wealthy women, they became essential military equipment during World War I, allowing soldiers to coordinate timing hands-free. Throughout history, controlling time meant controlling people's lives. Early humans tracked natural cycles, sun and moon dictating when to sleep, plant, and harvest. As societies urbanized, churches and governments regulated daily life through massive mechanical clocks and public bells. The Anglo-Boer Wars, 1880 to 1902, marked wristwatches' military breakthrough. British soldiers strapped pocket watches to their wrists, enabling synchronized attacks. World War I cemented their importance. Mechanized warfare demanded precise coordination. Pilots needed accurate timekeeping for navigation. Infantry required silent synchronization, impossible through traditional signals. Returning soldiers brought their trench watches home, transforming them from feminine accessories into symbols of masculinity. Within a decade, wristwatches outnumbered pocket watches 50-1. Swatch's 1983 plastic watches made timepieces universally affordable, democratizing time itself. For the first time, individuals, not churches, factories, or governments, controlled their own hours. In 1977, African dictator Jean Bedel Bokassa demanded a state ring with a diamond no smaller than a golf ball. Jeweler Albert Jolis carved worthless industrial black diamond into Africa's shape, embedding one small white diamond at Bokassa's country. Though worth only $5,000, Jolis presented it as a 25 million treasure. The dictator took only this priceless ring into exile, priceless only as long as he never tried to sell it. Jewelry reflects our desires, insecurities, and aspirations. Whether formed in Earth's depths like diamonds, through geological collisions like emeralds, as biological accidents like pearls, or through human ingenuity like timepieces, their importance comes entirely from our minds. Marie Antoinette lost her head over a necklace she never owned. England built an empire chasing a pearl Elizabeth never possessed. Spain collapsed under emeralds they extracted by the ton. These illusions have toppled monarchies, sparked revolutions, and transformed global power. That diamond engagement ring? 1940s advertising, not ancient tradition. Jewels possess one real power: to show us who we truly are and what we're willing to believe.